Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my octagonal friend Frank. How are you today, sir?
I see what you did there, Parker.
Yeah, this is good.
Parker! We always make those references to the show that only we have seen. We and other children of parents who bought tapes and videos
at the Christmas tree shop.
Yeah. Oh. In my case, it was like the grocery store.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Like the little dollar bin, like the impulse buys, like next to Us Weekly and Gum. It's like, here are a whole bunch of videotapes, like the Max Fleischer Superman cartoons and these terrible Spider-Man cartoons
from the 80s. You mean Spider-Man has amazing friends?
Nope. The worst one.
I have to, I loved those, though. I loved those shows.
Me too. And you had the Captain America one, you had the Iron Man one, you had a few.
Yeah, remember when we marathoned
some of them. It was July 4th, four years ago.
It was tough watching. Yeah some of them were really tough watch.
Yeah.
Those Spider-Man ones, though, just so special. So good. What are you drinking?
I am drinking Left Hand Brewing Company's Nitro Milk Stout. I love this beer.
I know you do.
I love this beer. This is like one of the first stouts I drank that turned me around on stouts. I did not use to like stouts for a while. And then I tried this one. It had been a while. I'd been, my palate was expanding. And I tried this and I was like, wow, I think I like stouts again. And I did. What are you drinking?
I am drinking a Hoegaarden. Mm. Which is a Belgian wheat beer.
Yes.
1445.
Yes.
So excellent.
Founded in 1445.
Yes, this beer is from 1445.
Yeah.
Actually, it's so close to its expiration date. I'm so glad I found this in my fridge. Wheat beer brewed with spices. I first drank this in France.
Oh, really?
Oddly enough, because I'm a world traveler.
You are a world traveler.
Actually, yeah, it sounds super pretentious. I drank this Belgian beer in France. Oh. Like, shut up. Shut up in your Spider-Man cartoons.
I'm sorry that I'm drinking America's Stout.
Yeah. Is it America's Stout?
It's America's Stout.
Oh, it does say that.
And a label.
Oh, well, what country's better, France or America?
America.
Trick question. It's Canada.
No. Why pick when you can have both?
Well, yeah, that's right. Why pick when you can take the best of both of them and put them in one country? Yeah.
And sprinkle a little British on it.
Yeah, that's right. When you say it like that, Canada sounds delightful.
It actually does,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the best of France and America with a little British on top. That's that's fantastic. So weird. Such a weird thing. So this Spider-Man, I want to go back to the Spider-Man cartoon.
Yeah.
When you see different versions of J. Jonah Jameson,
yes.
Do you think to yourself, like, doesn't compare to Parker?
Always,
yeah.
I mean, J.K. Simmons is, I think, like the gold standard for Jameson nowadays.
He might even be the gold standard for like comic book casting.
Yeah, maybe.
He
lives and breathes that character. I mean, he looks like the character jumped off the page and became a human being. Like, mm-hmm. That's one of the most uncanny resemblances. And you wouldn't really think that just looking at him, like what he looks like, but dear Lord, that makeup and the everything
between just subtle makeup and the flat top wig and the mustache, and it's amazing.
Done. Put a cigar in his hand, done.
Yeah.
But more than anything, it's his how he portrayed it, right? It is his, he slips right into that character exactly how I always imagined it, and really pretty much like that Parker from the cartoon, you know, like a little less over the top,
yeah,
but only a little less over the top. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cantankerous as hell.
Yes, he is. And, like, scary to work for, but also, like, the best day of your life, like, every day.
Oh, man, yeah.
Because he's just a ridiculous human being.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous in the most hilarious way.
Yeah, he is.
So we talked about Spider-Man, like, Spider-Man 1, the first Sam Raimi movie a few months ago.
Yeah.
But we haven't talked about Spider-Man 2.
Well, in preparation for a Civil War, which we know features Spider-Man, particularly since that new trailer was released a little while ago.
Under Ruse.
Tired of this. Under Ruse. Did you know Spider-Man was going to be in that trailer before it popped up?
I mean, I knew he was going to be in the movie.
Swung into the frame.
I knew he was going to be in the movie, and I was kind of expecting. I was like,
so you're expecting
a Spider-Man. waiting for him, and then like, oh, I guess he's not going to be in the trailer this time around. And then Under Ruse.
Yeah, the article that I clicked on to watch it, the image advertised Spider-Man. Yeah. I hate it when people do that. Just like, the point of it being at the end of the trailer is that I don't want it advertised, so I can be surprised when I see it. I hate you all.
Right.
Have a good day.
But like Comic Book Resources or comicbookmovie.com or whoever it was that you found it, like their whole thing is like, well, if you tell them Spider-Man's in, then they'll come and click on our article. And
yeah, of course. It makes perfect sense. Yeah, of course. And it worked, certainly. Before we talk about Spider-Man 2, because we talked about Spider-Man 1 a couple months ago in preparation for him appearing, let's talk about that. I don't think I've actually seen you since the trailer came out. So what did you think of his design? You know, the brief moment that he's in the trailer, what did you think?
I love that it's like a Ditko design.
You see, people are saying that. I don't see a Ditko design.
I mean, okay, so he's got like the little black accents, right? Which is obviously different. But take that away and add some webbing under his armpits. And it's kind of a it's more Ditko than what we've seen.
I disagree.
Okay.
I think it's more John Romita than we've ever seen.
Okay.
John Romita took over the Spider-Man from Steve Ditko. He was the second artist, and this was Peter in college and blah, blah, blah. And his design came, he was a little bit more, he was a little fuller, and his head was a little rounder. And so, to me, when I watch Amazing Spider-Man, that Andrew Garfield's slender frame and the way those eyes look, that is just Amazing Spider-Man 1, not the second one, the first one.
Yeah.
That's Steve Ditko. An updated. This, to me, was very John Romita.
I thought the... Okay. I do see what you're saying. I know what you're talking about. The majority of the
internet is saying, oh, he looks like Steve Ditko.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not alone there. But to me, I was like, the first thing that popped in my head was John Romita.
I got a Ditko vibe. It felt like a maybe it was because it's less of a like the costumes we saw in the Maguire movies and in the Andrew Garfield movies are more slightly more muted colors, right? Like a more of a deeper, like almost burgundy red and a darker blue. And this was like a very bright red and bright blue, and it almost like looked like when you see a kid in Spider-Man pajamas or something. It was like those colors, which is what I associate with the Ditko era and the very sort of simplistic look to the costume.
Mm-hmm.
Accepting those black highlights.
Which
is obviously a modernization of it.
The Raimi costume had webbing on the outside of the costume.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was a raised webbing, you know, and that I remember a lot of people being like, why is it outside? And I remember even as a kid reading articles like, because you really wouldn't see it if it wasn't raised, and that's such an iconic part of the costume.
Textured.
Yeah, or maybe even at that time, maybe like they just couldn't get to show up at the way they wanted to.
Yeah, I think it was also that was just an aesthetic of that time, was to have everything be like 3D, you know, like that was.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's absolutely true. It was 3D before 3D, and his colors were muted and blah blah blah. But this was definitely more like, hey, he's Spider-Man and he's popping, and you know he's doing all these crazy things. But let's go back and. I'm excited. I'm certainly excited. I think I like the look. I like the sound of his voice.
Yep.
I like the sound of your voice and all those other crazy things. I like the sound of the voice. I like all of it.
What did you think about the What did you think about the... So people... I haven't really noticed this. I haven't been able to pick it out, but people are saying... So, okay, you know how the eyes... The big thing people are noticing is that the eyes are, you know...
Movable.
Yeah. The, much like Deadpool, that his eyes open and close with his emotions or with his... Yep. They're expressive, right? Yep. Someone pointed out, and I haven't been able to verify this, that when he... When his eyes open and close, you hear like a...
Yep. Yeah, you do. I haven't
noticed that.
Yeah.
So
it's like it sounds like a when the lens on a camera zooms in and out.
Yeah, okay.
That's the sound.
That's how it's been described to me, sort of. Or that's what I
Yeah,
imagined.
I picked it up right away. It was the first thing I heard.
I missed it, but because I was watching it like at work, so I wasn't really close in headphones or anything. But so like, do we think that's like Tony Stark?
Tony Stark tech. The rumor was that there's a costume that he made himself that... Peter made himself, and then there's a second one that Tony designed for him. Mm-hmm. And I think the one that we see in the trailer is the one that Tony made for him, which gives him the movable eyes.
So,
because the Deadpool movable eyes are like, because he breaks the fourth wall and he's not real, blah, blah, blah. That people have been like, magic movable eyes. This one gives him a reason to have some...
Right,
some
a technological reason.
Yeah.
Which I like. I mean, that's cool. Do you think do you think Tony made him web shooters?
I'm going to say no. I think that Marvel is good. I think Marvel is really good about like respecting where characters come from and not downplaying their own achievements. And part of the genius of Peter Parker is that he is a genius. Like, he's a 17-year-old kid who can sit with Tony Stark and talk about science and not get lost.
Yeah,
that's the whole point.
So we think Peter made his own web shooters. You don't think they're organic?
No, they're definitely not organic, because there's if you pause it, when he is in the air and he grabs Cap's shield, you can see it on his wrist. You can see it on the outside of the costume. Plus, it looks like he's got little web cartridges. He's got like a little belt to hold extra cartridges. True. So I think so.
Okay.
I went to the shelf while you were talking and I wasn't listening. And I know this is a terrible podcast. But I have this book, and I've talked about this before, Spider-Man versus the Green Goblin, which is an ensemble piece of work. From
this was like your first... Your first
really
Spider-Man.
My first Spider-Man graphic novel.
Yeah.
So I have Steve Ditko's Spider-Man, and I have John Romita's Spider-Man.
Oh, awesome.
So I just want you to see both to be like, which one do you think it is? Because I'm looking at both, and I definitely see why people are like, oh, it's this, and oh, it's this. But I still think it's Romita. So there's Ditko's.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have this big black around the eyes and all that, and I understand that. And then this is...
Romita's.
And if you look at his head shape,
it's much more... I do see what you mean.
And the big black, the blacks around the eyes are much more...
More pronounced.
Yeah, more pronounced.
You know what? I do see what you mean.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. That's what popped into my mind more than anything. But I think, like, the spider that he has for Ditko in Civil War is more Ditko.
The
spider on his chest is more Ditko than Romita. So it's like this blend of the two. So I understand why people are saying both, but
all right,
it's just the mask particularly made me think Romita.
Okay. Yeah. I totally see what you mean.
Yeah.
I totally see what you mean.
Because Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man is very much like generic Spider-Man look, I guess. Like, this is as close as we're going to get. And then...
Generic Spider-Man with sunglass lenses for eyes.
Right. Exactly. And then that was continued in Amazing Spider-Man where he had that Ditko shape, but they were sunglass lenses. And then Amazing Spider-Man 2 was Ultimate Spider-Man. I think that would be the design, the giant white eyes was the Mark Bagley look like that. And so now we're getting this Ditko Romita blend.
What if similar to Tony having, you know, like the Mark 1, the Mark 2 for the suit, what if Pete's suit changes over time and we see, like, right now it's the blend of Romita and I'm blanking on his name right now, but
Ditko.
Thank you.
Blah. Steve Ditko.
I just had a total brain fart.
Yeah.
But so you got the Ditko and Romita blend right now, and then what if later it's like a McFarlane look, and what if it's like, what if it evolves?
Oh, that would be very cool. I would be very intrigued by that, actually. I've heard a couple of people being like, where's the Iron Spider, you know, that Tony Cousins
wears that?
I don't, as me, I want him to show up looking like Spider-Man. I don't want him to show up looking like Iron Spider.
Right, I agree.
That's just my... Just my personal taste in the matter.
I completely agree.
Yeah. All good points. None of them have anything to do with Spider-Man 2, which is why we're here today.
No, really. But, you know, good talk.
Good talk. That's okay. So let's talk Spider-Man 2. Considered the best of the Spider-Man films. Mm-hmm. Out of all five Spider-Man films, people are like, Spider-Man 2 is primo. Do you agree with that?
I do.
Why?
I do. I remember seeing this movie in the theater and seeing it, liking it so much that I had to go back the next day and see it again.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and like that's the, you know, I don't very often go to the same movie twice. So like yeah, I remember loving it. I think that it has the best villain out of the five Spider-Man films.
Are you a big Doc Ock fan?
Not particularly. I just think that he was done the best way.
I think he was handled the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not particularly because I'm a huge like Doc Ock fan in general, but
I think because this story didn't have to service a Spider-Man origin, because the first movie has to service a Green Goblin origin and a Spider-Man origin. So they're getting half the time they really deserve each one. And so this, we've established who Spider-Man is. It's unnecessary. So yes, he's getting a different story plus this sympathetic character brought to life by Alfred Molina, which was incredibly...
Alfred Molina is one of the great actors, you know, of our generation, of our time. Mm-hmm. And it is so great that he got to put his mark on a comic book movie and on one, a really good one.
So good.
Yeah. He played the right balance of, you know, cheesy kind of Bond villain who's like, I lost my one true love and now I have to kill everybody because the inhibitor chip in my head, it made me
see this
evil.
Kind of Bond villainy, like, yeah, here's my shtick kind of thing. But you feel, but he sells his love.
Because he is such a great actor,
yeah,
he makes it real.
Yeah, he really started that trend of sympathetic villains too. If you look at comic book villains, if you look at comic book villains before this moment in time, like you look at the Reeves film, the Superman films, they're just villains. You look at the Batman films, they're just villains, except for Catwoman, who is kind of sympathetic, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Freeze is supposed to be sympathetic, but it's Batman and Robin, so it's hard, like, you just feel bad for everybody involved. Yeah. So it's a different kind of feeling. And then, you know, you got Blade and X-Men and all this stuff. So, although I guess now that I'm talking myself out of that, I actually just talked myself out of my own point. Because now that I'm thinking, I'm like, Magneto's kind of a sympathetic villain because he's an Auschwitz survivor and everything. But yeah, I talked myself out of my own point.
Okay, maybe he's not the first, or not even one of the first, but he's a damn good sympathetic villain.
Yeah, but and that is also supposed to be, that is kind of Raimi's thing. Like, you're supposed to kind of feel for Norman Osborn.
Yeah, that's true.
Because Norman Osborn of Spider-Man 1 is a nice guy until the lab experiment, and then Doc Ock, and then Sandman after that.
He's not great to his son before the lab experiment, but yes.
You know, we actually don't see him really be terrible to his son, though. Really? He works a lot. But even, like, remember, like, the first scene you meet with him, he's, you know, Harry's like, Dad, could you pull around the corner? Mm-hmm. And he's like, why? It's right here. Like, are you embarrassed by your father? And it's not like, Harry, I'm your father. Don't be a prick or anything. He's like,
yeah, true.
And then he gets out of the car. Like, he himself, Dad, gets out of the car. And he's like, son, you forgot your backpack.
That's true. Okay, fine.
But, and then,
I'll give you that.
And then he's mean to his son all the way after that. We don't actually see him be really mean.
Avenge me!
Oh, that's my favorite part of this movie. Yeah. I'm going to skip to the end. So, Spider-Man beats Doc Ock. The end. Great.
Yeah, hooray,
so,
whatever.
Hooray. My favorite part of this movie is not James Franco discovering that Peter is Spider-Man. It's fine, whatever. But his breakdown at the end of this movie, well, because he doesn't take a gas to break down. Harry literally just has a mental breakdown and sees his father talking to him in a mirror, throws the knife, and it's the secret goblin chamber. Mm-hmm. And I, in 2004, was like, oh my God, secret goblin chamber.
Secrets, this goblins, is. Chambers.
And then there was such hope for Spider-Man 3 that was just dashed.
Oh my God.
Dashed.
Heartbroken. I'm still heartbroken.
We're not down on anything, so
yeah.
Let's be down on Spider-Man 3, but in its own thing, because I could definitely talk about Spider-Man 3 for an hour, even though this podcast is running half an hour, but I could definitely talk, like, just like we did with Superman Returns. I think Spider-Man 3 does have its good points. It really, truly does. And it hurts me to say those things, but it is not the worst comic book movie to ever exist.
It's not bad all the way through.
It's overstuffed, and it has studio interference, but it is not bad all the way through.
I think the studio interference is really the worst thing
about
it.
You could feel it.
Yeah.
You could feel it, because it's got some really great stuff in it, but it is that stuff is overshadowed by just things that make your soul hurt.
Yep.
But anyway, so Spider-Man 2, things that don't make your soul hurt. Doc Ock's arms were puppets in this film. Do you agree or disagree with this action?
I mean, I didn't think about it throughout the whole movie, so I think they did a great job. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they didn't draw attention to like, oh, these are CG or these are too puppety or like they didn't look fake. I couldn't tell what they were doing.
Right.
And I couldn't tell what they were doing, which is what matters.
Right. And it just more props for practical effects, because if you go back and watch, like, it's very obvious when all of a sudden Doc Ock is not a real person.
Yes, it is.
It's so painfully obvious.
That's also partly a function of it being in 2004.
Yes, it was like, we could do anything with the computer. And then, you know, 4 years later, we're like, you definitely could not do anything with the computer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
No, you were wrong. Oh, God.
2004,
we were wrong.
So long ago.
I know. I know. Do you like the Spider-Man No More part of it? Like, the confidence, and he's, like, lost his powers and stuff like that?
That's probably my least favorite part of it, actually. I don't really care for that trope in superheroes in general, whenever it's been done.
Right.
You know, like, oh, I need to stop being the hero that I am. And then they learn the same lesson, which is like, I am this person, even if I don't want to. I'm always a hero. The hero is inside of me. It's okay, yeah. Okay,
it's fine. Superman 2.
It's Superman 2. They did it in Smallville. They did it in, like, it's been done a million times.
Well, yeah, but Smallville's a television show. Like, you have to, you know, those are...
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I understand the reasons why.
He's still learning to be a hero. But, I mean, like, in a movie, I don't need them to be like, my God, am I really a hero? Yes, you're a freaking hero.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to save people. Mm-hmm. Get over yourself.
Do it.
Do it. Just do it.
Now, I will say, of anybody, Peter Parker is probably the one person who... has the most reason.
I think he has the most reason to. Yeah. I absolutely agree with you. Because
as much as I don't like it, it makes the most sense.
Because Peter's life is just a horrible crap fest.
Yeah. Yes.
All the time. He cannot catch a break with anything. And the only time that he does is when he is not Spider, when he's not being Spider-Man.
Right.
But even then, he doesn't really catch a break. He tries to get with Mary Jane. He's like, I'm different now. And she's like, no, you're not. You're really not. And then poor Mary Jane, speaking of not catching a break, this poor woman, her whole function is just to be, you know, bait for Peter.
Yeah.
Three movies, and all she does is like, Peter, you know, I'm an actress. I was a waitress, and now I'm an actress. And now... I am in, you know, I, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in doo-doo.
You in deep doo-doo now.
She's in deep doo-doo now. Although, Spider-Man 2 has one of my favorite quotable lines of all time from The Importance of Being Earnest.
Mm.
you know, you know what I'm talking about. Are you glad to hear it?
I am glad to hear it.
Yeah. I don't know why that sticks with me. It sticks with you, too.
It does. We both quote that.
All the time, for no particular reason. You have a whole movie filled with Bruce Campbell.
Oh, my God, yes.
With one of his greatest cameos. And the line that I quote from that movie is from a play that is a real play outside of this movie. Dumb. Silly and silly and dumb.
I also like what's his name? But the landlord guy.
Oh, the Russian guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mr.
Rent.
Yeah. Peter says his name a few times. Like,
yeah,
Mr.
Ksenfikovich.
Yeah, something like that.
Stigfikovich.
It was based on Ditko.
Ditkovich.
Ditkovich.
Yeah, Ditkovich. Yeah.
Right. It was based on Ditko.
Yeah. Hi, Pete. Yeah. Get the daughter across the hall.
Right.
I like when Peter tries to go to the bathroom.
Yes.
And Mr. Dickovich goes inside him, and he stands inside, and he opens the door, and he goes, rent?
Yeah.
And Peter just closes the door.
Yeah. He's like, forget it. I'll pee later.
So good.
I'll go pee in the park. I love when Mr. Dickovich is like, he's like, you know, don't try to sneak past me. Like, I have ears like a hawk and eyes like a rodent.
Whatever you say, Mr.
Look, he gives him.
Yeah, so this movie's great. Like, it's so good.
And, like, the pizza, when he has to deliver the pizzas.
Oh,
in a certain amount of time.
I'm not paying for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not paying for those.
Oh, when he gets like the broom closet and he just like all the stuff just keeps falling on him.
Yes.
And he just doesn't know what to do.
He comes out of the broom closet with the pizza, deals with that awkwardness of like stuff keeps falling on him, closes the door, delivers the pizza.
Yeah.
Pizza time. And she's just like,
I'm not paying.
The clock is like, I'm not paying for these.
Yeah.
And then inexplicably, when his boss fires him, he just rips the sticker off his helmet because that's how the world works.
Yep.
That's how physics works. You can just rip a sticker off like that. Jeez.
Can't you?
I mean, I feel like every time you want to rip something off, it's like, let me like dig my nail into it. Oh, it's coming. Oh, I only got a little piece of it. All right, let me try ripping it more.
Well, to be fair, it really doesn't come off very well.
Yeah,
like, there is still a big thing there. Let's talk about the. This movie, again, is scored by Danny Elfman with a very forgettable Spider-Man theme song. No, that's the Gargoyles theme. Yeah. If I sat down to think about it, I'm sure I really could. I'm sure. Yeah.
I'm not making it up.
Is that really it?
You're looking at me like...
Oh, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. But yeah. Yeah. See, but it's not... I get like the... It's supposed to be like a spider crawling.
Yeah.
It just doesn't...
It's
not heroic enough.
He doesn't really write very melodic marches. And like, you know, he's not that
type. Did you say Danny Elfman doesn't write melodic marches?
He doesn't.
No, like, but he definitely does.
I mean, that's not what he's known for. I mean, like, not the way John Williams is known for. Okay, you're right. That's one. That is one. And there's probably a couple others. But that's not his best known work. Like, or that's not... Okay, maybe that is his best known work. But it's not his most... That's not representative of most of his...
Dun, 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 dun. Halloween, 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 Halloween.
I'm not sure he wrote that tune, though.
Yeah, he did. Danny Elfman scored.
I know he scored the movie, but did he write that song? Like, did he write the tune for that song, or did he adapt it to the rest of his score?
I'm confused by your sentence.
Writing a song, the songs from the movie and scoring the movie are not the same thing.
Well, right.
Yeah.
If he didn't write the lyrics, that's fine. But if he still wrote the melody, then...
Did he, though? I don't know. Did he write all the music for all the songs?
I'm fairly certain he did, yeah.
That's not always the case.
It's Oingo Boingo, so he is a...
Okay.
I don't know. Now I'm confused. I'm 99% certain he did.
I'm not. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
We can use our one look.
So,
up.
But I, you know what? I'm gonna.
You do it.
I'm gonna. Don't you? Yeah. Fall out on me or something. Don't go away.
This is Beer with Geeks.
This is Beer with Geeks. Beer with Geeks.
Beer with Geeks.
Beer with Geeks. Who am I looking up? Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman.
John Williams is dead. Now we've got Danny Elfman.
Put the name from the people's court.
Oh, man. So, Family Guy, Star Wars parodies aside, while you're looking up Danny Elfman, whether or not he actually wrote the music.
Composer Danny Elfman.
For the song. Okay, yeah. I was not positive.
Yeah, he's the only credit. Okay. So, yeah.
Cool.
But I understand what your point. I think he tried to get away from that style, and that was his in between where it just wasn't quite working for him. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been really hard to play. Feel bad for that guy.
Yeah. Right.
Supporting cast. Aunt May is back.
Mm-hmm.
Harry's back. Everybody's back.
Mm-hmm.
How we feel about everybody? Do we like everybody? Aunt May fulfills that function that she always fills.
Exactly.
You know, hey, where are my old comic books? Oh, those dreadful things. I threw those away.
No. You can hear Sam Raimi just crying on the inside.
Yep.
And he got to save her in this movie, right?
Yeah. He says, we sure showed him. What do you mean we? Oh, yeah.
I remember before that movie came out, like, seeing set photos of him saving Aunt May and being like, ooh!
Ooh!
This is a treat!
Yeah. Aunt May and Spider-Man together at last. Yay! I still don't love Tobey Maguire's take on Spider-Man.
Yeah. I like it. What is it about that you don't care for?
He's not... it's the not quippy enough.
Okay.
It doesn't feel genuine quippy. I guess it's the same way. It's not sassy enough, I think. There are moments, like when he's fighting Doc Ock in the bank, and he's like, here's your change. And he like, that's good. But like, that's the one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody gets one.
Okay. Maybe that's... That might be true. I may be still watching this through the lens of it was 2004.
That's
and
possible.
So this was the most we had gotten.
See, I was 16. Was it 2004, 16, 17, something like that, whenever this came out. Yeah. So to me, you're right. This was the most we were gotten. Like, the first X-Men movie was like the bomb in 2000 because we'd never seen the X-Men on screen before.
Yeah.
I just went back and watched it recently. I was like, God, that movie's boring. Super boring. It's got some nice moments, but like X2 is like leaps and bounds ahead of what X1 is. It's pretty amazing. And Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2 is also that same thing. But I think we have come a long way in the superhero world to look. But we could still hold Spider-Man 2 up to the standard of this is just as good as Iron Man or mm-hmm. The Dark Knight
or whatever.
I think it holds up the same way, but I don't think that Spider-Man's characterization holds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I haven't watched it recently enough, and I haven't watched it comparing it to those other films enough.
And that's certainly not to distract from the movie, because like I don't love Christian Bale's Batman. You know, like he makes weird choices. I'm not a fan. but his Bruce Wayne is great, you know?
Sure.
But you kind of make allowances because the rest of the movie is so good around it that so he's not quippy, but he can be sometimes. But the train fight sequence is incredible. You know, he has a weird face when he's running on that roof before he hurts his back. You know what I'm talking about? He's got like a scrunch. He's got like this scrunch face. He's like, he ages like 80 years in one frame. It's really strange. It's got a lot. The movie's got so much good. I have a hard time. I even feel bad saying that, like, I don't like Tobey Maguire's take on Spider-Man in this movie, because the rest of the movie is so good.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoy it. I mean, I do think this is the best of the Spider-Man films. There are definitely things, you know what? You are right. I will say you're right. He could quip more, but I just haven't really thought about it that much and noticed it that much, because when I saw it, I was so blown away by it that I didn't. I was like, I couldn't imagine him quipping any more than he does. But Andrew Garfield quips more, and I think Spider-Man should quip more. So yeah, you're right. I think I agree with that assessment. I just never really noticed it because I was so caught up in like it's 2004 and this is the best superhero movie that, or at least definitely the best Spider-Man movie I've ever seen. So yeah, I don't know. Any final thoughts? We're actually up against time here.
Well, that's because we spent so much time talking about
the trailer.
Yeah, I was like, I've actually got a lot more. I have a lot more thoughts on Spider-Man 2. We can, I think, combine more Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3 next time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be good. We'll do a half positive Spider-Man 2 and half rip it into Spider-Man 3.
There you go. But, balance it out.
Yeah, but you know.
Balance of the Force.
Indeed. You know, I have one thing I'm going to leave off on because I might not remember for next time.
Sure.
When I was a kid, you know how I wear glasses, and Doc Ock had those little clip-on sunglasses.
Yes,
and I got clip-on sunglasses because nice. Doc Ock had them because I was a cool kid.
You were a cool kid.
Yeah, thank God.
You were a villain.
Yep, I was chilling like a villain.
Oh yeah,
in my octagonal home. That's why he's named Doc Ock, right? Because he likes octagons.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So you can find us on Twitter at Beer with Geeks or Facebook.com/Beer with Geeks, or you can email us at BeerWithGeeks.com or leave us ratings and reviews on iTunes, Overcast, and Satchel Media Players, or where all other podcasts are found.
Very good. Spoken like a true radio man.
I said it all in the breath.
You did.
I did.
You did it.
And now I'm going to pass out from exhaustion.
Oh, and he's down. Well,
I'm back.
Whoa. All right.
I'm back. Oh, my back. Oh, my back. Oh, Spider-Man jokes. All right. Well, until next time. Cheers.